Jonga Kandemiri, and good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, April 14th, 2016. Thank you very much for joining us live from Washington this evening. This is Ndimyake Mwakalyelye. Here are our top stories this evening. Former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai's MDC Tea Party stages a street protest in Harare against poverty and missing diamond funds.
Mugabe is no solution to the crisis because he's too tired. We are demanding a dignified exit for a tired Mugabe.
Relatives of women stranded in Kuwait are seeking help for their safe return home.
Independence to us means nothing. It is meaningless. We don't have jobs. The children we have sent to school are not going to work. We are struggling for food every day.
And some Zimbabweans say the country's independence has become a nightmare. These stories and much more coming up. Please stay tuned. Former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai today led thousands of his Movement for Democratic Change supporters in street protests demanding an explanation to the missing $15 billion diamond fund and an end to rising poverty and unemployment. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Thousands of MDCT supporters gathered at an open space near ZANU-PF headquarters that the opposition has dubbed Freedom Square before Tsvangirai, his wife Elizabeth, and the top MDC brass led them through the Central Business District to Africa Unity Square adjacent to Parliament. The placard-carrying protesters sang revolutionary songs as they marched through Robert Mugabe Way, turning into Julius Nyerere, before making another turn into Nelson Mandela, going past their party's headquarters and headed to Africa Unity Square, where Tsvangirai addressed them.
The 2 million jobs that we were promised has now turned out to be 2 million vendors. Yeah. Mugabe is no solution to the crisis because he's too tired. We are demanding a dignified exit for a tired Mugabe. Yeah. Go and have an early retirement, a dignified exit. Yeah.
Tsvangirai noted, though, that he was not calling for the overthrow of the sitting government. Tsvangirai told his supporters that he was worried by the ruling party's failure to create the 2.2 million jobs that the president promised in the run-up to the 2013 national elections, adding that poverty was now rife in the country.
We are going to demand and take our rights to the people of Zimbabwe. Never again should we entrust our freedom in any particular individual.
The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions says close to 1,000 companies have shut down following the polls that the opposition says were fundamentally flawed. MDCT Secretary General Douglas Monzora said his party was demanding an explanation to the missing $15 billion in diamond proceeds, noting that the protests would spread to other provinces in the next few days before a national mass action is announced.
This is just the beginning of the demonstrations we are going to have. We are going to have demonstrations in Bulawayo, Mutare, Mashingo, Gweru, Chinoi and the other cities before we cascade to the growth points. But I want to commend the people of Zimbabwe for showing peace, for showing that they are responsible. This demonstration shows that Zimbabweans are able to have peaceful demonstrations.
The MDCT's Harare Provincial Organizing Secretary, Rhino Mashaya, said the only solution to the economic and political crisis in Zimbabwe was for Mr. Mugabe to leave office.
I understand everyone now knows Mugabe is the problem, and they are demanding their jobs and the 15 billion just disappear from nowhere whilst we got leadership in Zimbabwe.
Mr. Mugabe stunned the nation recently when he claimed that his government could not account for more than $15 billion in diamond sales generated from Manicaland province as the opposition supporters marched in the streets of Harare. Heavily armed police patrolled the streets and barricaded the road when protesters intended to march on parliament. The march proceeded after the High Court yesterday ordered the police not to stop the opposition from protesting. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Hello there. To mark Zimbabwe's 36th independence anniversary, Studio 7 will be giving out solar-powered radios or T-shirts for our lucky winners. Simply invite 10 friends to join our VOA Studio 7 Facebook page. Ask them to like our page. Keep their names so we can verify your claim. We will also be running a daily competition for lucky winners. You only need to answer a simple question about Zimbabwe's independence. The draw will be conducted April 18th, Independence Day. Don't be left out. The question today is, when was the unity accord signed by ZANU-PF and PF-ZAPU? The answer to our question yesterday is Simon Muzenda. Thank you very much for the overwhelming response. Some relatives of women and girls lured to Kuwait in the Middle East to seek greener pastures are seeking help for their safe return back to Zimbabwe. The relatives say some of the so-called Kuwait employment agencies are now refusing to disclose their locations, demanding payment of up to $3,000 each for those that want to terminate long-term contracts. At least 200 women were reportedly lured to go and work in Kuwait, where they were promised lucrative jobs by the agents. Some of them have now been turned into commercial sex workers and slaves. Indications are that 180 are still in that nation. A relative of a 21-year-old lady who is being allegedly abused in Kuwait, who only wanted to be known as Mrs. Mary Ndoro, tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mklanga Nyahuye that her family has not heard from the young lady since Easter.
I have a relative, a niece who has gone to Kuwait. My niece was working somewhere else, and she goes to a certain church, which I shall not mention. She has got a neighbor who is part of the agents. This neighbor spoke to the parents, and the parents trusted this neighbor that you can give me your daughter. There's a job in Kuwait. She can go there and stay there and earn $900. She actually recruited so many girls in her neighborhood in that pretext. So you would pay for visa. You would pay for clearance at the police. She would run and do all those things for you. Between 5 to 7 days, there will be a ticket and a visa. And the visa is not written in the language that we understand. There's only a date of entry and a date of expiry. And when she got there, the sponsors came and they picked them up from there and took them to their palaces, to their mansions. They went there, and she was told, you are not going to work in a hotel. You are going to work in this house as a maid.
So what is the situation right now? Where is your niece?
We don't even know where she is, because they shifted her from the time she reported, and she was taken somewhere else. We can't get hold of her. She has no phone. We don't even know where she is. So we managed to call the agent. The agent says he wants $3,000.
That was a Zimbabwean woman who wants to be known only as Mrs. Ndoro. She spoke with Studio 7's Marvelous Mklanga Nyahuye. Efforts to get a response or comment from the Kuwaiti embassy have been futile.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This month, we are commemorating Zimbabwe's 36th independence anniversary. The 18th of April, 1980, was a significant moment celebrated by millions of people, including the late great Bob Nesta Marley, on Independence Day in Harare. 'Cause that's the only way we can overcome a little trouble. What are your thoughts of that moment? And what about 36 years later? Send us your thoughts on our WhatsApp number, 001-202-465-0318. That number again, 001-202-465-0318. We are also on Facebook and Twitter.
War veteran Bernard Manyadza, who was known during the liberation struggle as Paka Chipoera, says President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party has failed to make Zimbabwe a democratic nation. He tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri that unlike what they were calling for during the war, there is no one person, one vote in the country.
The first thing that we enjoyed in 1980 with the conclusion of the war was the enjoyment of one man, one vote. That should have remained for the nation up to date. We were also yearning for inner party democracy. That is, the principle of one man, one vote should determine all political activities in all political parties. But the unfortunate thing, the unfortunate development is this was somehow thwarted. And as I speak, there is no internal democracy under which I fought. Which is why you are having this spate of faction. It stems from lack of inner party democracy.
Where were you in 1980, on 18 April?
Exactly on that date, I was in Harare, enjoying with the rest of the populace the one man, one vote spectacle.
That was war veteran Bernard Manyadza speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. We will air another part of this interview tomorrow here on Studio 7. Don't miss it. Moving on, some Zimbabweans say the current harsh economic situation in the country has almost eroded most gains of independence, as most of them now appear to be worse off than before the nation was liberated from British rule. As the country prepares to mark its 36th independence anniversary, they say black majority rule has become a curse to most citizens that are struggling to make ends meet. Our correspondent Patricia Mudadigwa reports from the capital.
Some Zimbabweans have suffered to the extent that they now believe that colonial ruler Ian Douglas Smith was far much better than the current ruling ZANU-PF party led by President Robert Mugabe. But others dismiss this as baseless, noting that the Smith regime was racist as it treated blacks like second-class citizens. Backers of this school of thought further argue that independence from colonial rule liberated them from one of the most oppressive systems in the world, racism. Alice Mkonoweshuru is convinced that the current black government is worse than the racist Smith regime. As a result, she believes that Zimbabweans are worse off today than they were under the colonial rulers.
Independence to us means nothing. It is meaningless. We don't have jobs. The children we have sent to school are not going to work. We are struggling for food every day. Almost everything is depressing. We have nothing to celebrate for. Otherwise, things have gone worse than before. So independence is nothing to us, completely nothing, because we are suffering.
36-year-old Kudakwasha Maisiri, a general dealer who sells all sorts of goods in Zimbabwe's capital city, despite having a diploma in nursing, shares the same sentiments.
I can't really say that I'm living the kind of life that I want to live. So because of that, independence to me is not really significant.
Anderson Kufakunesu, another Harare resident, adds that the country has not recorded any meaningful social and economic development since independence in 1980.
For me, there is no independence in Zimbabwe because people are being forced to do something which they don't want. Like companies are forced to remit 51% to local people, while it's 49% are taken by the foreign companies. So for someone to say that Zimbabwe is independent in that area, I don't think it would be good. Even for people to do their business, like we have Zim Asset in Zimbabwe, which does not benefit nearly everyone, but it's only for those who hold SANPF cards. But for MDC people, they don't have independence, even because when they want to do their political activism, they have to apply to the police, and most of the time they are not given a chance to do their functions. So I don't think there is independence in Zimbabwe.
The Zimbabwe Agenda for Social and Economic Transformation, or ZIMASET, is the country's economic blueprint mooted by the ruling SANPF party before the 2013 general election, which it won, though the results have been disputed by opposition parties. For Shorai Chimuriwo, independence without a sound economy is just as bad as not having independence at all.
For now, I can say it's useless to celebrate on the 18th of April because with the situation we are facing right now, in regard of the economy, the situation of the economy is not good. We can say independence is a day that we say we have been freed, but for the situation right now, we are facing a suffering, so there's no independence at all.
Harare Central Member of Parliament Maurice Zizai of the MDCT Formation agrees, stressing that the country's independence has just become a meaningless calendar day.
It has changed from that very much celebrated day when people would celebrate their freedom and celebrate good life, celebrate happiness, celebrate democracy, celebrate good education, medicines in the hospitals. All that is gone. It is an independence that comes just coincidentally, like now, when people cannot even access their monies in the bank. You go to the bank, there is no money, there is nothing, unemployment is rampant. So it just has remained a calendar date.
But Emilia Machacha disagrees, arguing that though the economy is almost on its knees and people are struggling to make ends meet, it is still worth celebrating Independence Day.
Independence is of much importance, and it's a day that should be put into consideration by every Zimbabwean, because we managed to celebrate our freedom. With my life, the joy that I have today, the peace that I have today in Zimbabwe, not only me but every Zimbabwean, it was because some people had to sacrifice their lives so that we can have this independence. So it is of much importance.
Zimbabweans had high hopes of achieving a lot of social, economic and political goals before and after independence. Some people now think that the future is bleak under the ZANPF government, though others believe that Mr. Mugabe's government will normalize the situation in the near future. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, a closer look at today's street protests in Harare, staged by the Tsvangirai-led MDC. But first, a look at regional and international news. 2 years after Islamist militants kidnapped more than 200 schoolgirls in northern Nigeria, a new video purporting to show the missing girls just 4 months ago has given parents hope that their children are still alive. A mother said she recognized several of the girls. They lived in her neighborhood. Until now, there has been almost no news on the 219 girls taken by Boko Haram militants in 2014 from a school in the town of Chibok, which sparked global condemnation, street protests in Nigeria, and offers of help finding the girls from the country's allies. And finally, World Bank President Jim Yong Kim said today that he is extremely concerned about the widespread creation of offshore companies by wealthy people around the world to evade taxes, saying it takes large sums away from governments who need the money to fight poverty. Kim told a news conference in Washington that he was distressed by the scope of the offshore accounts as disclosed in the Panama Papers, a recent report by investigative journalists who included Studio 7's Ray Choto, based on a massive leak of documents from the Panamanian law firm Mossack Fonseca that for decades has helped create the companies across the globe. As we mentioned earlier, MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai today led his party supporters in street marches against poverty, the deteriorating economic situation in the country, and missing diamond funds estimated at least $15 billion. Some opposition parties did not join the march, though they were invited to take part. Despite this, representatives of some of the parties believe that they will work together with the MDCT in the near future in staging such street protests. ZANU-PF spokesperson Simon Kayamoyo was not reachable for comment on the protests. For perspective, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube reached Jacob Mapfume, spokesperson of the Progressive People's Party, led by Tendai Biti, and Sidney Chisi of the Youth Initiative for Democracy in Zimbabwe. Mapfume says that the PDP was not invited to attend the event.
It had MDC colors, and it was led by the leadership of the MDCT. And even when they sought the permission, they did not make any excuses about it. It was for the MDC to make a point in terms of the national issues that they needed to make. And I think we respect that. I think as Zimbabweans, this is the multi-party democracy we've been crying about. In other countries, this happens. The EFF demonstrates on its own. The DA demonstrates on its own. But when there are issues for us to unite, or when there are activities for us to unite, a common platform to organize, to prepare the dates, will be done, and all of us, we will participate. As you know, in our ranks, we have people like Solomon Madzore and so forth, who have spent more than 3 years in jail because of this ZANU-PF regime. And these people have seen it all and done it all. We are not scared of this regime at all, at all. We have fought against it, but we know and understand that in these gatherings, in this assembly for fighting for democracy, there is a time for everything, as it is said in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's a time to join, there's the time to watch, and there's a time to act, and so forth. So we need to be organized in that manner.
So, Mr. Chisi, PDP decided not to come.
I can certainly say that it was an open invitation, particularly to those organizations that have been participating in the National Electoral Reform Agenda Platform, and also organizations that have been participating in the Zimbabwe National Agreement Platform. These platforms have been bringing together political parties, labor, the church, and civil society. So that was where the general invitation had gone to. And I'm sure that PDP has not been participating in those platforms. Those kind of issues are issues that are supposed to be bringing us together. And I can say that PDP in itself remains quite critical as a player in terms of the agenda of bringing in the opposition political parties together and facing the same agenda and ensuring that Zimbabwe becomes a democracy again. So it has been an open platform. Like I said, my God, Jacob has also said it was exclusively an MDC event, which would also give an opportunity for the other comrades.
Mr. Mapfume, so do you think that maybe in the long run you may work with the MDCT, you know, in terms of bringing democracy in Zimbabwe? Because as far as people are concerned, your kind of views and the MDCT's views are not too different.
Yes, I think working together is the best option, a grand coalition. What we need is to quickly move away from words to action. I think we have spoken a lot about working together. It is now a chorus. Now we must not only speak, but we must be seen to be working together. So to be seen to be working together, it's actually doing joint activities, working on joint platforms, and targeting the same issues and developing strategies. So definitely in the near future, it is my fervent hope and prayer that we are guided by the Lord and by our wisdom to quickly work together through actions and not in words.
So, Mr. Chisi, if the two parties can work together, you know, on any activity, why are you then divided? You know, because it seems as if you are wasting people's time, right?
No, Nkuli, we are not wasting anyone's time, but we also understand that we can't underestimate the issue that there is a history behind the situation that we find ourselves in, especially the political parties themselves. So even when people are saying they want to come to work together, they also have to put caution, but critically, it is understanding the issues of why people have to be working together at a particular time. And the move that has been happening, like I said, that there is a platform called National Electoral Reform Agenda, where political parties are coming together to deal with issues of the electoral reform. There's also this the National Agreement Platform, where people are talking issues around the economy, your women's affairs, you talk about natural resources, you talk about governance culture. All these things are issues that we definitely finally would bring organizations together. So really, we would not want to rush into certain things that will end up affecting the byproduct that we want. What we want is to get the best of output from whatever political initiative that we might actually want to do, so that we might not build on something that will crumble.
Mr. Mafume, in conclusion, do you think that there's such demos play any role in terms of transforming society?
Everything is a beginning. As an event in itself, it mustn't be an event, but it must be a process. I think for all those people who believe in the non-violence mantra, like us, that was spouted by Mahatma Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, and Martin Luther King, I think passive forms part of outward expression. But what it needs is it needs sustained action. One issue is that people must avoid getting caught in celebrating an event for itself. What we must be able to do is to make sure that these are mobilization points. It is a way forward, it is a plan of action, and it is a program of action, so that we are not caught in an idea of celebrating, meeting together and going away. This is not a church event where the promised thing is in heaven or after one is dead.
That was Jacob Mapume, spokesperson of the Progressive People's Party. You also heard from Sydney Chisi of the Youth Initiative for Democracy in Zimbabwe. Both spoke with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube.
Hello, all young people out there. I am Chione Sojani, your host for Time to Engage. We have a new, vibrant, energetic, inspirational segment. This is Time to Engage. We have hot topics for discussion, like life coaching, motivation, leadership, health, entrepreneurship. This also includes music, social media, and everything else you want to know. We will talk to various experts to help us with these discussions coming from Washington. Send a message to our WhatsApp number 001-202-465-0318. Hashtag time to engage.
Don't miss it right here on Studio 7. Please remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. Today, our hosts of the Women's Roundtable, Praxedes Jeremiah and Marvelous Mtlanga Nyahuye, will be talking with listeners and experts about the role played by women in Zimbabwe's liberation struggle of the 1970s, and also the role that they still play today to reform the society. If you wish to join the show, please call us at 001-202-619-2077. That number again, 001-202-619-2077. Before we go, a quick recap of our top stories today. Former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai's MDC Tea Party staged massive street marches in Harare against poverty and missing diamond funds, and he also called on President Mugabe to leave office. Relatives of women stranded in Kuwait are seeking help for their safe return back to Zimbabwe. And some Zimbabweans say the country's independence is not what they had hoped. And that's our broadcast for this evening. Thank you very much for tuning in. Please stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele, hosted by Ntungamile Nkomo. This is Ndimiyake Mwakalielie here in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.